بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وكيف تصبر على ما لم تحط به خبرا. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. In the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings various stories. And the stories were revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to all of humanity so we can gain lessons from those stories. The Quran is not a storybook. It's not there to tell enjoyable stories so we can sit there and smile and go to sleep with ease. The Quran has a purpose. And that purpose is hudan lil muttaqin, to guidance for those who aim to achieve taqwa. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala narrates these stories, there's various lessons behind them. If we're able to pick up on these lessons, then we can see, if we implement those lessons, a huge change in our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Kahf, which is the surah that we commonly read on Fridays, and there's various merits and rewards for reading the surah, the story of a prophet, Musa alayhi salam, Moses, and Khidr, who some ulama say was a prophet, and some say he was not a prophet. And the majority opinion leans that he was not a prophet. And in the story, Musa alayhi salam, actually if we look at the hadith, Musa alayhi salam, when you study the tafsir of this particular verse, they mention the hadith of Musa alayhi salam once gave a sermon, gave a khutbah. And after that khutbah, one of the members of Bani Israel came to him and said that, is there anyone who is more knowledgeable than you? Because it was a very powerful sermon, it was a very powerful talk. So Musa alayhi salam responded by saying no, because in his knowledge, as being sent as a prophet, there was no one more knowledgeable than him. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not like that response. He did not have ill intentions with that response. He did not intend anything bad with that response. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not like that response. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Musa alayhi salam to travel to meet someone who has knowledge in an area that Musa alayhi salam did not have knowledge. So Musa alayhi salam, he begins to travel. And the story is lengthy, so we're not going to go through it, all of it at least. And he meets this man at the merging points of a few incidents where a dead fish came to life and swam away, where the water had a small opening which the fish swam, is a converging point. And so Musa alayhi salam meets Khidr. And when he meets him, Musa alayhi salam requests to keep his company, because he wanted to learn from him the special knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. Now Khidr told him that you will not be able to be patient with my company. And then he mentioned something very interesting. وَكَيْفَ تَصْبِرُ, and how can I expect you? How will you be patient? When this information, لَمْ تُحِدْ بِهِ خُبْرَةً, when this information, this knowledge has not reached you. So Musa alayhi salam, he requests again to please allow me to accompany you. And Khidr alayhi salam gives him permission and they begin to walk. فَانْطَلَقَ, and they continue on their journey. Until they reach a boat. حَتَّى إِذَا رَكِبَ فِي السَّفِينَةِ, when they reach a boat. Now when they reach this boat, what happens is that they are offered a ride without having to pay for this boat. They were offered a ride out of the goodwill of the people manning this boat. And as a show of appreciation, when Khidr and Musa alayhi salam, when they disembark, when they leave the boat, Khidr alayhi salam, he tears a hole into the boat. Now Musa alayhi salam is looking at him and saying, how could you tear a hole in the boat when these people did an ihsan upon us? And Khidr alayhi salam told him that, I told you would not be able to, be patient with me. So Musa alayhi salam requests, give me another chance. So they continue. When they continue, they arrive to a place where there's a group of children playing. Khidr alayhi salam looks at that group of children. He chooses one boy, and according to the narration, he plucks the head off that boy. He kills him. And Musa alayhi salam turns, أَقَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا زَكِيَّ بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ, that you kill an innocent person without any reason. بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ here means no reason. Although it literally means because recompense, someone killed and you can kill in return. But here it just means there's no reason for you to kill him. That you committed a huge, heinous crime. And Khidr alayhi salam again points out that, look, you commented, I told you won't be patient with me. So Musa alayhi salam says, look, be patient with me again. If I happen to speak again, then we'll part ways. Now they arrive to a city, and they seek to be hosted by the city, and no one hosts them. And when no one hosts them, then what happens is that Musa alayhi salam and Khidr alayhi salam, they begin to walk. When they walk, they see a wall that's falling over. Khidr immediately, according to one narration, he doesn't physically put the wall together. He, with his hand, does this, and the wall erects. Now that's not necessarily a strong narration, because when you read that from Imam Sayyuti rahimahullah, I don't recall per se what the actual citation was. So I have to tell you right now, I don't remember the citation of that particular hadith, but in Jalalain, the part that Imam Sayyuti, because Jalalain is two, Jalaluddin al-Mahalli, he wrote the second half, although he wrote it first, then his student Imam Sayyuti, he completed it, and when he mentioned this particular, I don't remember him actually citing where it is. So we cite from the tafsir, but I'm going to say very clearly, I don't remember the clarity of that hadith. But he makes this gesture with the hand, the wall becomes erect. At the very least, he used his hands to fix the wall. We can at least say that much. Now Musa alayhi salam says, this is a strange act you've done. Because these people, they refused to host us. At the very least, you could have asked for payment for this act, so we can be able to have food, a place to stay, etc. You fixed the wall between in their city that they did not deserve by their actions to have fixed. So Khidr alayhi salam says, "Hada firaqu bayni wa baynik." That's it. We're parting now because you violated the terms of our agreements. But then, سَأُنَبِّئُكَ بِتَأْوِيلِ, I'm going to tell you the ta'weel. I'm going to tell you the interpretation of what happened. Now Musa alayhi salam had the ilm of sharia. He knew sharia says you cannot kill a person without a right. You do not have to do ihsan upon others if they don't host you. You cannot destroy the property of someone. He knew this. But Khidr, according to the verse, has ilmul ladun, which basically is a knowledge that Allah Ta'ala gave him openings with. People often ask, what type of knowledge is this? We can see in the examples of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when Umar radiallahu anhum was giving khutbah, in the middle of the khutbah he began to call out, Ya Sariya al-Jabal, Ya Sariya al-Jabal. There wasn't revelation that came to him. No one gave him news that in the region of Iraq, of the Persians, that Sariya radiallahu anhu and the Muslims were being attacked from an area that they don't turn to the mountain, they won't be able to regroup and reattack or regroup and gain safety. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave ilham. Umar radiallahu anhu was munham. He was given this opening. We don't say revelation, this opening into seeing something that was occurring. And when he saw this, he gave the call out, oh Sariya, look to the mountain. When Sariya radiallahu anhu returned back to Madinah to Munawwara, he turned to Amir al-Mu'mineen and said, something strange happened. That I heard your voice when I was in Persia. And Umar radiallahu anhu said that I was giving khutbah and I saw your circumstance. And I called you to turn to the mountain. And Sa'd radiallahu anhu, he affirmed that in fact we heard your voice. I turned our group to the mountain. When the platoon turns to the mountain, we're able to regroup and have safety. So this Allah Ta'ala opens things up for people. So Khidr, he mentions that that first situation, this boat belonged to a family. And within that family, there was a large number of children. And this family, they owned this boat. And this boat was going to be on a part of the waters where an unjust king was coming to confiscate all the boats and seize them illegally. But because he's a king, he can do whatever he wants. And he was going to take the boats. And I knew they just did a service to us. And I did not want their boat to be seized. So I knew if I tore a hole in the boats, they might be able to fix the boats, but when the king sees that boat, he'll think this is damaged, I don't want this boat. So he actually repaid the ihsan of that free ride by doing ihsan on the surface, which looked like a problem. But in essence, saved them from having the boat seized. As for that boy, Khidr mentions that he has two parents who are very righteous, but they had extreme love for their child. And perhaps out of their love for the child, because that child was not righteous, and Allah Ta'ala had opened up for him that this child would not remain on the path of the deen, that the deen of the parents would be compromised. So I killed him. So to preserve the iman of the parents. And actually it's interesting, Allah Ta'ala, he mentions that Allah Ta'ala will give upon them rahmah, mercy, a type of mercy. And some of the tafsir mentioned that they had a daughter named Rahmah, who actually married Prophet Shu'ayb alayhi salam, I believe. Now the next thing, there's this wall. Under the wall, in this community that does not do favors for people, lied a treasure. If that wall fell over, the same people who refused to host the Prophet and his companion would quickly seize that treasure. And so he felt it was best, because the person who left this treasure behind was righteous, the children were righteous, they were orphans, let's fix this wall. If we fix this wall, then what's going to happen is they won't find this treasure. When the children grow old enough, they'll be able to retrieve that treasure and they will have an easy life. Now in this particular situation of these three stories, we see that one lesson that is taught is this idea of husnul dhann, having a good opinion of people. Our Messenger ﷺ mentioned that if something goes awry, we see something that's wrong, we should give to our brother 70 excuses. Not as a limit, but as a large number. That we give them 70 excuses. That perchance a brother may be talking to someone outside who's a female and we think that's not his wife. But that may be his sister through nursing, which all of a sudden becomes a legal relationship to have a conversation and to touch hands, etc. We might see a person who has money and we might question where this money come from. And we might see that this masjid donation box is open and it's empty. And it might be a board member appointed him to take that money because this masjid donation box is malfunctioning and keep it with you. We've already pre-counted it. We know how much it there is, but you can keep it safe. But if we don't give the benefit of the doubt, then what happens is shaitan, he begins to seep in. Zulaykha, who eventually, according to some of the ulama, becomes the wife of Yusuf alayhi salam. And that's a very interesting narration as well. That Yusuf alayhi salam, she says, قَالَتْ حَيْتَلَكْ. She says, حَيْتَلَكْ, take me. He says, مَعَذُ اللَّهِ. Now if we see what Allah Ta'ala says, لَقَدْ حَمَّتْ بِهِ وَحَمَّ بِهَا لَوْلَا أَرْرَآ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّي. That she desired him. Now people jump to conclusions, look at this woman. She desires this man. But if you actually read the history, we see that her husband was a eunuch. He was not a complete husband. For those of you old enough, you understand what I mean. He was not a complete husband. He was unable to fulfill her rights. She reached a breaking point, and it was a test she could not handle. We are not condoning her act. But the idea is, as Muslims and as believers, we always assume that something is happening there that gives them the benefit of the doubt. And unless we inquire, We have to assume the best. Now granted, if there's something that's a gross breach of the law, then we have to obviously do our part. If we see someone abuse someone, we have to do our part. We can do some investigation, but we have to do our part. But the reality is that most Muslims, when we see something that's not even faulty, that's not even wrong, immediately jump to the conclusion to think something wrong of others. And this community is a community that we want, like all communities, to see growth. In order to see growth, Muslims have to have إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. All the believers, we have this relationship of brother and sister with one another. What does Allah Ta'ala say? أَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخْوَيْكُمْ. To repair those bonds that might be broken. Do silatul rahim. Why? Because we are individuals who much of our success comes upon the fact that Allah Ta'ala says فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. Allah united us together. And shaitan, he looks for that opportunity. And that opportunity often comes when we don't give the benefit of the doubt to one another. To give 70 excuses for someone is difficult. The Prophet ﷺ used that number to show this is the extreme we should reach. This is the extreme we should reach to give the benefit of the doubt to someone. That perhaps if they on the surface do something wrong, behind the surface there is something. And actually much of this occurred because I have, alhamdulillah, a very good friend comes from Maghrib, for Isha, and he said, I haven't seen you for 2 days here. And he didn't call me out, he said very clearly that, I didn't see you here for 2 days. And I said, the day before I had a very bad asthma attack, I was driving to the masjid, I couldn't even drive, I had to pull over and I couldn't make it to the masjid. And then on Wednesday nights I teach Arabic somewhere else, so I did not come. Now some people jump to the conclusion, are you supposed to be the imam? How come you're not here? But he immediately came and said, I haven't seen you, is everything okay? And I felt that was a very powerful gesture, that he did not make an assumption about his brother for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is where we have to be as well. We have to be people who assume the best. And at the same time we try to rectify wrongs, and there's a balance between the two. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq, to make us amongst those who are able to give the proper excuses for our brothers and our sisters in the deen. And we ask Allah ta'ala to give us tawfiq to make us amongst those who our natural state is to think good of our brothers and sisters in the deen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.